We also bring you greetings in the name of Jesus. We're also thankful to be here. Thankful that family can be here with us too. And everyone here, welcome. Certainly was blessed with the devotional this morning about what the children of Israel went through. Spoke to me. I thought also of speaking a little bit about that today in the course of the message. And for the message, I'd like to turn to Romans 12. Romans 12. To read the first three verses here. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good an acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And the title for the message that I have chosen is Transformed or Conformed. Transformed or conformed? Are we being transformed by the renewing of our mind, or are we being conformed to this world? I believe that's a question that we all face in life. When I think of a transformed, renewed mind, as I studied this, I came to the conclusion that transformation is really a call to worship. Transformation is a call to worship. A transformed, renewed mind that God's Spirit has a hold of, that person desires to know God. And it's why we came here this morning. Transformed minds who want to connect to God. To know God, we have to connect to God. Are we connected to God? Or is this some kind of form that we're going through and we're not really connected? That's dangerous. To go through the motions and to act like we are transformed on the outside, but we're not really connected to God. Is your Christian experience meaningful? And I'd like to look a little bit at the life of Moses. Moses was a man that was transformed by the renewing of his mind. And he acted that way. He was a man that was connected to God. And when he met the burning bush or saw the burning bush, he thought about God. He said, I will turn aside and see what is this great thing that the bush has not burned. And he connected with God there. And God called him to lead his people out of Egypt or out of the world. Pharaoh was a very different man. And when Moses spoke to Pharaoh to let my people go, that this is what God is saying, let my people go, what did Pharaoh say? Who is this God you're talking about? I don't know this God. He did not even want to know this God. I have no use for that God. I have no time for that God. I don't have any time for you. Just get out. Pharaoh Pharaoh was a man who was conformed to this world. And all he could think of was his own seat and his own things and the thing that interested him. We have people like that who are just interested in their own things and in their own, you know, program or whatever. But Pharaoh was a man like this. Who is this God? And God was like, I'll show you who I am. So it was plague after plague after plague when finally Pharaoh's own son was dead, and that really got their attention. Pharaoh was starting to find out who this God is and that this God will fight for his people. And then they woke up to the fact, like Pharaoh's people were saying, look, we've got to let these people go. We've got to get them out of here or we're going to all be dead. And so they basically chased them out. And the children of Israel left. And then they went toward the Red Sea and they got themselves like boxed in. The sea was in front. There were tall mountains and cliffs on either side, and the enemy was behind. And by the way, it's a picture of an unconverted person where he gets to. He gets to the point where there are impossibilities on either side. The devil is behind driving, and he meets God. And you can either take God's way out of the problem, or you can just die. Let the devil have his way. But at some point, we are all faced with that. Turn around and go back. Away from God and you meet the devil. And you are just a pawn in his program. He hates you. But there is a loving God who loves you. And so, this God who was taking care of his people and who dealt with Pharaoh that was so hard and cold, he dealt with him. He opened up the sea, the wind blew, and they crossed an impossible situation. They just walked right out of their problem. Because there was a man who was leading them that was connected to God, who had a transformed mind. And he was a man who worshiped God. He was connected. And so, once they got out of that situation, it was instead of plagues, it was miracles. It was miracle after miracle after miracle. The people got thirsty and water came out of a hard rock. And then they got hungry and quails came from the sea. I didn't know they come from the sea. Do birds come from the sea? It's like a wind blew them in from the sea. But I know God can do anything, a great God. And the people were so hungry they didn't have meat and they were complaining and murmuring. And when they woke up the next morning, here there was like, it says the quail were 2 cubits thick on either side of the people, on either side of the host. There were like 3 million people. It would take a lot of quail to feed them, but God knew that. 2 cubits, I think, is 3 feet. And it was a day's journey. How far can you walk in a day's time? 25 miles? You think of quails on one side, 3 feet thick and 25 miles wide, and the same thing on this side. Now, how many people would that feed? They had more meat than they knew what to do with. And they wanted bread. Well, bread came from heaven. It was manna. And they had manna for 40 years. Going through the wilderness. Such a great God. I'd like to turn to Exodus in chapter 33. And look a little bit at Moses' transformed mind here. In verse 12. It says, and Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. God had told Moses that I know your name. I know you inside and out. And you have found grace in my sight. I don't know of a better situation to be in than God knowing our name and that he by his grace has accepted us. So if that has happened in your heart and life, you didn't come here to go through some form. You came here to worship. You came here to put your heart into this worship, into this service. You want to be a real part of this. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not hence. In other words, if you don't go with us, God, don't take us to this land of Canaan that's going to be flowing with milk and honey. Don't take us to a wonderful place if you don't go with. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Here Moses is saying that the essence of this whole thing is that you are with us. And we are connected to you. The transformed, renewed mind is connected with God, and it does not want to go anywhere, even if it seems to be a good place, unless my God is going with me and I want to be with him. That wonderful connection between father, son, a father to daughter. It's not knowing about God. It is knowing God. Pharaoh got to the point where he knew about God, but he did not know God. It's not knowing what he can do, but it is knowing his ways. I'd like to give you a little example. There was a time in my life when I asked my wife for a friendship, and we started dating. Girls and boys, that's how it works. When you become interested in a girl, and God put that desire in your heart, and you will ask another girl if you can date her. I'll just be simple here. You want to date her. Well, she is thinking, what is she thinking? And what are you thinking? Are you wanting to know what all the things is that she can do? Or are you wanting to know this girl? And the girl the same way. Do you want to know all the things that the boy can do? Or do you want to know his ways? There's a big difference. There's a lot of boys who go out there and lift up 200 pounds over their head, you know, do some kind of great feat like that. Or maybe it's what you call a really hot truck. Bad truck, he can smoke his tires and he can really, you know, impress people. Or he could be a marksman. He can take a gun and drill a quarter at 100 yards every time without missing. I mean, somebody that really has some talent and abilities. And in volleyball or in a race, nobody can win him. He's a winner, winner, winner every time he wins. Girls, is that who you want to spend your life with? And boys, she may be an awesome cook. She might be able to cook the best food and have the cleanest house. Is that who you want? Or do you want to know her ways? And the girl might think, you know, this boy that has asked me, he's not really known to respect his parents. And it seems like he'd likes to draw attention to himself. And there are times when nobody knows where he is. Now you're looking at his ways. Why is he always arguing with his brothers and sisters? Why does it seem like he has a hard time getting along with people? And why is it that, you know, sometimes he's got to come by with some strange clothes or some different look or some different whatever? Now you're looking at his ways. And boys, I don't care how good a cherry pie these ladies can cook. That does not matter to me. What matters then is how well do they respect their parents? And what do they think of the Word of God? And how well are they respected in the church? And how satisfied are they with themselves to be just simple and modest in your dress and things like that? Now you're looking at her ways. And that is what it takes for two to be successful in married life. God doesn't want all these talents and abilities. He would say, my angel Gabriel, all the 10,000 angels I've got, they've got all kinds of abilities. I don't need your abilities. But God wants us to know who he is, and he wants us to know who we are ourselves. He reveals that to us by his Spirit, if we are willing. So do you really know God? Or are you here and you just know about him? Jesus talked about true worshipers. There are worshipers, but are you a true worshiper? A true worshiper is connected. And John 4:23 says that God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We are not here to fill a space. We are not here to warm a pew. We are here to connect with the Father. We are here to sing and to pray and to preach and put our heart in it and give it all we've got. Why wouldn't we if we're connected to God? Transformation takes a total surrender to God. Are you being conformed to this world, or are you transformed by his power? And back to Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. It's just by the mercies of God that we can come together. And we present our bodies a living sacrifice. A living holy sacrifice as we present our bodies to our God. And then he gives the warning, be not conformed to this world. Being conformed to this world creates a complete block to true worship. Psalms 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. That sounds like it was all he had. All that is within me. The Phillips translation of this verse, be not conformed to this world, puts it this way. Do not let the world squeeze you into its mold. Do not let the world squeeze you into its mold. And when you come to God to worship, there are times that we have people that are sitting in these pews and the world is trying to squeeze you into its mold. There are times that I have stood here behind this pulpit and the world was trying to squeeze me into its mold. It does happen because we are human. To be conformed means that something is squeezing in on you and you change your shape. Being transformed means that something happens on the inside here that you cannot see. You can't see it. But from the inside, it changes the person outward. And he decides, I'm going to change my ways. Being conformed to this world is like, wow, my neighbor really got a hot truck. I'm going to go out there and get one too. See if I can outdo him. See how you've been squeezed? See how you've been changed from the outside because something happened to you. And by the way, when we have trials and temptations, they squeeze in from the outside and they're trying to conform us. They're trying to us to change our shape. I'd like to demonstrate to you a little bit what happens. Or I'd like to ask you the question, who are you? Depending what happens to you. And you sisters, you know what this is. I'd like the brethren do too. Well, some kind of trial comes to you. Or maybe somebody comes to church looking a little different. I want to look like that too. Are you like this piece of foil? And you see something that you want and you don't have. I'm going to get it just like that. Something happens to you. And now that's how you look. Or there's a strong trial that happens to you. And you become discouraged and you just like worship. You know, I went to bed late last night and I don't feel like coming to worship. So something happens to you and that's how you stay. That's how you look. It's what happens when you become to conform to something and somebody can do whatever they want to and you just, is that what kind of people you are, guys? And you can just do what you want to and you're just. That's what happens to a person that is conformed to the world. They're always looking for something new. And always, you know, when they see something else they like, they become like that. Because something from the outside got a hold of them and they're just, well, how much good is that? Usually that's ready for the trash can. And then a strong trial comes, and then you're, you know, really flat. You can't do a whole lot for God like that. You just can't. Now, how does a transformed person, what do they do? And thank you, Fanny, for giving this to my wife. I like this thing. Sometimes I wash dishes. And I like to use something like this. But this is the picture of something that has been transformed. And now something will approach you. What happened? You just came right back out where you were. It didn't affect you. Maybe there's a strong trial coming. And you can just hit this thing and do whatever you want to. And it looks just like as good as it did. And by the way, you know what this is for? It's to wipe dirt. Do you like to be a person that likes to go around and that's what Jesus did with a towel. He washed other people's feet. And he was a trans. This is where we get transformation. Somebody who doesn't want to get dirty. I don't want to change the baby's diaper. I don't want to clean those boots. And I don't want to do this and that and the other and have that kind of attitude. But see, this thing here will clean dirt. And it doesn't matter. It just goes right out right where it was. That's the life of a transformed person. And it's really pleasing to look on. And I like how it feels. You know, when you come in contact with people who are like that, And they are pleasant to be around. And you just, it feels like when you were down in the dumps and discouraged and you connected with a person like that, you just feel better. Something happened that, you know, the burden just left. That's what a transformed person does because it's connected to God. It gives people a lift. But you went to bed late, Ladder, and I don't feel like going to worship. I don't feel like singing. I don't feel like praying. I just want to stay in bed. Or maybe you're here and the world is squeezing in and you're being conformed to this world because your thoughts are at home on the pork chops you're going to have for lunch. And then I want to eat them and I want to just kick back and take it easy. Is that what you're thinking? Or maybe you're thinking, I wish this preacher would shut up so I can go home and do what I want to do. It's not worship. It's a person that is conformed to this world. And it's so important with what they see and how they feel and how they think. And they just, it's like a wave of the sea. You can't depend on it. How pleasant it is when you have a lot of chores. And parents know what it's like when you have a lot of chores. And your children are very dependable. When the animals need to be fed, the children are there and taken care of. That is pleasing. And somehow, I'm not talking about a spiritual transformation here, but somehow that person was transformed in his doing to where when the time comes to go do the chores, they get done. You don't have to say, get up, go out there and do the chores. Do that over and over again. Just push and push and finally gets to where the parents are just about wore out. What do I do next with Johnny? He won't get out of bed. He won't go do his chores. End up going and do it yourself. We talked about it the other day. You know, I understand there's a struggle sometimes with parents. It would feel so nice to just let the children stay in bed. In fact, I can get up early and I can do a lot of work by the time they start crying at 8, 9 o'clock. But one of our children has a family and they get those boys up early. I've heard sometimes they're up as early as 5 o'clock in the morning. And you know what happened? It had to happen when they were real small. Take them out of bed. Even when you don't feel like it, take them out of bed. There is a transformation that happens. And later in life, it stands them good. And spiritually, that is what we need. And God tries to do that to us. He wants us to have a transformed mind. He wants us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So as you are here, are you really being engaged with God? Are you engaging with God and allowing His Spirit to work in your heart and life? Take in the words that are being spoken. Take in the songs and take in the prayers. Pray to God and really put your heart in it. Realizing that if you don't do that, you're being conformed to this world. And you might have heard that, you know, being conformed to the world is just simply looks, you know. Dressing worldly clothes and things like that. But look, it's something that happens in the heart. Because the heart, out of the heart is where all these things come from. And see, when you see something that you want that you don't have and you see something you want, you know, it goes in through the eyes, it goes into the heart, and then the heart does something about it. That's being conformed to this world. But when you realize that, what does God think about this? What would God say about this? That is who I'm really concerned about. Then it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter so much how you look. It doesn't matter so much about what people think. But folks, I want to tell you, the church is not fooled. There might be people here that you can fool the church some of the time or part of the time, but not all the time. But there are times the people of God are just not fooled, simply because they are connected to the Spirit of God, and the Spirit reveals things. So you might think you're hidden, but you can't really hide forever. And for sure not from God, because God knows. And he is just like Moses. His mercy endureth forever, as the Psalm says. And because of God's mercy, it's that we can be here and that we are accepted. God is calling. He wants transformation to happen, and he wants to connect with his people. Why did he go to all this trouble of taking Israel out away from Egypt? It's like the bulletin here. You've got a choice to make. You can take the conformed route, or you can take the transformed route. Which one are you going to take? Another thing that conform does is that it has the fear of man. The fear of man has so much sway and rules so many times. What will people think of me? You know, or I do something to impress somebody. But people are not fooled. And you know, you just think that this thing I've got now is the coolest thing. You know, the phone I've got, or you get all kinds of stuff. The devil has a whole toolbox full of stuff trying to get people to be conformed. And the underlying thing is the fear of man. Because I want everybody to like me. I want everybody to think well of me. So you go out and try to impress people. But God is not impressed, and his people are not impressed either. You might as well quit that. There's no fulfillment in that. It's an empty life. It might be exciting while you're doing it, but it doesn't last. And in the end, you don't like yourself, and you wonder what's wrong. You wonder why I can't connect to God. You know, I can pray, but it seems God doesn't hear me. Why? A renewed, transformed mind is going to be very important with what God thinks. In closing, I'd like to turn to Ephesians. In chapter 3, and he says here in verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Will you let him? Will you let him work that great power within you? "Unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Let's kneel to pray.